Welcome, everyone, to the Deep Dive. This week, we're navigating a truly pivotal period, September 7th to 13th, 2025. We've sifted through an immense volume of articles, cutting-edge research, and expert analyses, and our mission today is clear: to give you the ultimate shortcut to being profoundly well-informed about the complex financial and geopolitical landscape unfolding right now.
Absolutely. We're not just touching on headlines. We're plunging into the underlying currents.
Exactly. The stuff that will shape not just the days ahead, but potentially the rest of 2025 and, well, maybe even beyond.
Indeed. This isn't merely a busy 7 days. It's a critical convergence of powerful global forces. We'll be guiding you through four dominant narratives that are poised to shape the week's developments.
Okay.
Our goal is to help you understand not just what is happening, but why it matters for global markets, for individual financial decisions, you know, and for the broader international order.
It's about spotting the connections, right? The cascades.
Exactly. Those impacts that are easy to miss if you're only looking at isolated events.
Absolutely. So let's lay out these four overarching narratives that will anchor our deep dive today. First, we have the transatlantic inflation test, a significant challenge for Western central banks, primarily driven by critical U.S. inflation data and the European Central Bank's monetary policy decision.
The big one.
Second, we're gauging Asian growth engines with crucial economic health checks from China and Japan. These will offer vital signals on global supply chains, consumer demand, the works.
Crucial signals, yeah.
Third, there's a contest of military and diplomatic signaling. This is highlighted by high-stakes security events, from a major Russian-Belarusian military exercise to a critical Western defense meeting for Ukraine, all underscoring a, well, let's face it, a very tense global security environment.
Very tense.
And finally, domestic pressures with global implications. We're covering key elections and burgeoning social unrest in Europe and Latin America, which will test incumbent governments and carry potential ripple effects for energy markets, economic reforms, maybe even Eurozone stability.
And these narratives aren't isolated. They're deeply interwoven. Understanding their interplay and the potential for one event to trigger a cascade across another is absolutely key to comprehending the volatility that could define this week.
Right.
From the subtle shifts in economic data to the stark realities of geopolitical signaling, the interconnectedness of our world is, well, more apparent than ever.
Right out of the gate, Sunday, September 7th, sets a high-stakes tone. It's almost as if the global economy isn't waiting for Monday morning to begin its week.
Yeah, no rest for the weary, right?
Exactly. We're looking at major decisions from OPEC plus EV, critical financial discussions at the highest levels, and early economic signals from two of Asia's powerhouses.
What's fascinating here is the immediate impact we could see on global energy markets and the broader financial system. It really lays the groundwork for the week's potential volatility.
Okay, so let's start with OPEC plus, Tim. The OPEC plus production policy meeting is happening today.
That's right. Core members of OPEC plus COSENT alliance of oil producing countries are meeting to decide October 2025 oil production levels. Their focus is on how to unwind the remaining 1.65 million barrels per day of voluntary cuts.
Especially after they've already implemented adjustments, what was it, 547,000 barrels per day for September?
Exactly. They brought some supply back online already.
And as we understand it, eight key OPEC plus countries, including giants like Saudi Arabia and Russia, had already agreed to that September increase. They cited a steady global economic outlook and current healthy market fundamentals. So this meeting is about what happens next.
Precisely. This decision today is critical. It will heavily influence global oil prices and energy market stability in the coming months. It affects every oil-dependent economy worldwide, obviously.
And you mentioned a potential 1-2 punch.
Yes. Crucially, it could be a significant component of a potential coordinated move from OPEC Plus and the BRICS bloc. Imagine a surprise production cut from this meeting.
After they just increased for September.
Right. That would send oil prices soaring, especially if such a cut is coupled with the BRICS group advancing alternative payment systems, something we'll definitely dive deeper into when we get to Monday's summit.
So if they decide to pull back on supply, perhaps surprisingly, what does this all mean for our gas tanks, for consumer prices, for inflation, even before the working week truly kicks off? It feels bigger than just the price at the pump.
Absolutely not just the pump price. A surprise cut would instantly translate into higher energy costs for consumers and businesses globally. That reignites inflationary pressures in Western economies already struggling, you know, to bring prices down.
Right.
But beyond that, it's a powerful geopolitical signal. It shows OPEC plus collective ability to, well, unilaterally dictate terms to global markets. And if it is coordinated with those BRICS de-dollarization efforts, that poses a direct challenge to the petrodollar system.
Wow. Okay.
It effectively increases the economic leverage of non-Western blocs. So it's a strategic move with profound long-term economic and geopolitical ramifications. It's a statement of power, really.
And then, almost simultaneously, we have the Bank for International Settlements, BIS, meeting, also beginning today. This is the central bank of central banks, right?
That's the one.
Where governors from 27 member banks, Fed, ECB, BOE, China's PBOC, BOJ, all the big players are gathering. They're discussing global financial stability, monetary policy coordination, banking supervision. Why is this meeting of central bankers so crucial right at the very start of such a high-stakes week?
Well, this meeting is foundational, especially in a period of such high economic and, frankly, geopolitical tension. Multilateral cooperation among central banks is vital, particularly when global markets face multiple potential shocks.
Makes sense.
Their job is to maintain global financial stability. Coordination, especially around monetary policy and regulatory frameworks, helps prevent systemic risks from cascading across borders.
So what they discuss might influence later decisions, like the ECB.
Exactly. The outcomes often include policy coordination decisions affecting international monetary cooperation. It can subtly, or sometimes overtly, set the tone for how individual central banks will approach their own decisions later in the week, particularly the ECB and the Federal Reserve. What they discuss here can preempt or mitigate crises that would otherwise impact, you know, your investments and the stability of global finance.
Now, let's shift our gaze to Asia for some early economic health checks, part of our Gauging Asian Growth Engines narrative. We've got China's August foreign exchange reserves and trade balance data. The reserves came in at $3.322 trillion, slightly above the forecast. Trade balance showed a surplus of $98.24 billion, also a bit better than expected.
Okay.
Then there's Japan's final Q2 2025 GDP data. This one's interesting. It actually contracted at an annualized rate of 0.2% against an initial forecast of 1.0% growth. Quarter over quarter, it was flat. 0.0%, again, missing forecasts.
Right, a downward revision there.
These initial numbers from two of the world's biggest economies present such a mixed bag. Ugh. I'm genuinely curious. Are we looking at genuine resilience here, or are there deeper, perhaps more troubling undercurrents beneath the surface for these crucial global economies?
These are definitely mixed signals, yeah. And they paint a nuanced picture for global growth. For China, the robust foreign exchange reserves and a healthy trade surplus outwardly suggest resilience against global trade pressures.
Okay, looks good on the surface.
But, and here's the deeper insight. China has also been experiencing near zero consumer price index, or CPI, and declining producer price index, PPI, which was down 3.6% year over year in July.
Deflationary pressures.
Exactly. While the trade figures appear strong externally, these deflationary pressures indicate underlying weaknesses in domestic demand and production. This isn't just an internal Chinese issue. It could eventually impact global supply chains by making Chinese exports even cheaper.
Which, paradoxically, might help cool some inflation elsewhere.
Potentially, yeah. Even as Western central banks grapple with their own domestic price pressures. So it's a picture of external strength potentially masking significant internal challenges.
And Japan. That contraction seems worrying.
Japan's data is more concerning, yes. A final Q2 GDP contraction, even a modest one after initial forecasts for growth, clearly indicates its export-oriented economy is being impacted. Our sources note the clouding effect of U.S. tariffs.
Right, the trade tensions.
This directly affects global trade, as Japan is a major contributor to global supply chains for everything from automotive components to high-tech electronics. A slowdown or contraction here has ripple effects for companies worldwide relying on Japanese components or consumer demand.
So different stories, but both crucial for the global outlook.
Absolutely. Both offer contrasting yet equally important insights into the health of the global economy, and that divergence is something investors should definitely be watching closely.
And while all this economic and financial data is dropping, we also have significant domestic political pressures brewing in Latin America, adding to our fourth narrative. In Argentina, crucial legislative elections are taking place in Buenos Aires province today.
A big test for Milei.
Right. 46 provincial deputies, 23 senators. It's a major litmus test for President Javier Milei's La Libertad Avanza, or LLA, party, and his, well, radical reformist agenda, battling against the historically dominant Peronist opposition in the country's most populous province.
That province holds nearly 40% of the electorate, so it's huge.
Then in Brazil, Independence Day demonstrations are planned. Pro-Bolsonaro rallies testing his political strength just before a potential Supreme Court verdict.
On alleged coup attempt involvement.
Yeah.
And alongside that, cry of the excluded protests focusing on hunger and inequality.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, these domestic events, while regional, contribute significantly to the narrative of political fragmentation we see globally. Outcomes here could signal broader shifts in populist strength and economic policy direction across major emerging markets.
How so? Specifically for Argentina and Brazil.
Well, for Argentina, Milei's reforms have global implications for investment and the future of the country's economic model. A strong showing for his party would embolden his agenda, potentially drawing significant foreign investment into Argentina's energy and agriculture sectors.
Which affects global commodities.
Right. Conversely, a setback could force compromises, maybe even derail reforms, triggering capital flight and increasing sovereign debt risk. That creates volatility in emerging market bonds.
And Brazil?
In Brazil, the scale of the pro-Bolsonaro rallies will be a gauge of his enduring influence. It reflects continued social and political division under the Lula administration, which itself could impact the stability of the region's largest economy. Both situations highlight how internal political dynamics in large emerging economies can create uncertainty and impact global perceptions of political stability and investment risk for, you know, anyone looking at those markets.
Okay, moving into the week proper. Monday, September 8th. We shift our focus to Europe for a pivotal election, and then across the virtual airwaves to a summit that could signal profound shifts in global power dynamics.
These events truly highlight how domestic policy, especially around critical resources like energy and the push for alternative economic structures, are actively shaping the geopolitical landscape. Starting in Norway, the parliamentary election on Monday.
Right, Norwegians voting for 169 members of the Storting.
And this isn't just a local affair. Norway is Europe's leading gas supplier now, having largely replaced Russia since 2022.
That's a huge shift.
It is. And we even saw the center party leave the governing coalition back in January 2025 over EU energy directives. It just underscores how central energy policy is to Norwegian politics and, by extension, European security.
And the polling. Looks like a tight race.
Labour's leading at around 27%, Progress Party around 21%. A hung parliament is widely expected, which means complex coalition negotiations are likely.
So what does this all mean for Europe's energy future, particularly after the seismic shifts we've seen post-2022? A new government in Norway could literally reshape who powers the continent,
yeah.
Impacting everything from utility bills to industrial competitiveness.
Precisely. The outcome will have significant implications for Norway's petroleum industry, licensing new exploration, taxation policies, environmental regulations, the whole nine yards.
Different parties have very different views on that, I assume.
Absolutely. A government more aligned with, say, the socialist left's stance could push to end new oil licensing and phase out production. That could potentially tighten European energy supplies and drive up prices.
Mm.
Conversely, a more conservative-leaning government would likely favor expansive fossil fuel production for energy security. Given Europe's current reliance on Norwegian gas, any significant shift in policy there will be felt directly by European consumers and industries. It further intertwines domestic politics with global energy markets.
And for investors.
For investors, this could mean volatility in European energy company or even impact broader inflation if energy costs rise. It's a key one to watch for the energy sector.
Then we have the highly anticipated BRICS Virtual Leaders Summit, also on Monday, hosted by Brazil's President Lula.
Yes.
The agenda is crystal clear. Formulate a coordinated response to recent U.S. trade tariffs and rally support for multilateralism. Clearly a counter-narrative to Western-led globalism.
This summit is a critical piece of our economic war narrative. BRICS has expanded significantly, 10 members now, including Egypt, Ethiopia, Iran, UAE, Indonesia, plus 13 partner countries like Turkey and Malaysia.
That's a huge block. What's the economic weight?
It represents an impressive 35.4% of the world economy and 45% of the global population. What's strategically fascinating is their collective push for alternative financial infrastructure.
Like BRICS Pay.
Exactly. China fully backed BRICS Pay, that decentralized payment system, using UPI WePay Tech back in October 2024. And the July 2025 Rio Summit saw a concrete decision to move forward with creating an alternative system to SWIFT.
An alternative to SWIFT? That's ambitious.
It is. And Brazil has already become the first Latin American bank to officially use China's CIPS network, bypassing the dollar for certain transactions. It's happening incrementally.
This sounds like a direct, deliberate challenge to the dollar-based global system. But we also hear that India's PM Modi will only be represented by his external affairs minister. For a summit like this, that seems noteworthy. It signals a delicate balancing act.
It does. And this raises an important question. Is this a truly unified front against the dollar-based system, or do these absences and balancing acts hint at underlying divisions?
Right.
While the rhetoric for de-dollarization is strong, India's measured approach suggests member states still have complex, often conflicting national interests and, frankly, strong pre-existing ties to the current global financial architecture.
But the potential is still there for a shock.
Absolutely. We cannot ignore the black swan potential here. This summit could announce an accelerated timeline for BRICS pay. Imagine them specifically committing to settling all Russian oil exports on this new platform by year end.
Wow, that would be huge.
It would be a direct, coordinated attack on the petrodollar system. It would send oil prices soaring, further stoking Western inflation, while simultaneously providing a viable non-dollar alternative for significant global trade. That's a move with profound immediate implications for global finance and geopolitics, challenging the dollar supremacy in a way we haven't seen in decades.
So for you, the listener,
it means monitoring the stability of your international investments and recognizing potential shifts in currency valuations. This isn't just abstract geopolitics. It could hit close to home.
Beyond these major developments, Monday also marks the first day of the second Africa Climate Summit and the European Parliament plenary session beginning in Strasbourg.
Both contributing to broader themes of global cooperation and EU policy direction, yes.
Plus, we have routine U.S. Treasury bill auctions and the Federal Reserve consumer credit release. Important background data points.
Right, offering insights into government financing and household financial health, all elements feeding into the larger narrative as the week progresses.
Midweek, on Tuesday, September 9th, our focus shifts to global security coordination for Ukraine and crucial employment data from the U.S. That data could significantly revise our understanding of the job market and, well, the Fed's future path.
This day highlights the ongoing strategic competition in Eastern Europe and the data-dependent nature of central bank policy, particularly as we approach the U.S. Federal Reserve's next meeting.
So first, the security angle, the Ukraine Defense Contact Group, UDCG meeting.
Also known as the 30th Ramstein Format meeting, convening in London this time. This is the primary mechanism for coordinating Western military assistance to Ukraine.
And the focus now?
The focus is increasingly on joint defense projects and long-term military priorities, not just immediate aid packages.
Okay, let's really delve into this. This meeting is more than just about sending aid. It's a critical signal of long-term commitment, isn't it? How does this meeting counter Russia's recent moves, and where does Ukraine realistically stand in what appears to be a prolonged conflict?
It's a direct strategic counterpoint to Russia's Zapad 2025 exercise, which we'll discuss later in the week. Look, over $145 billion in aid has been committed over nearly 3 years, with a new $21 billion pledge just in April 2025.
That's substantial.
It is. And crucially, NATO is exploring taking over coordination from the U.S. to, quote, Trump-proof the aid channel. That indicates a long-term strategic commitment beyond immediate political cycles.
Interesting move.
It signals to Russia that Western support for Ukraine is enduring and aims to reinforce Ukraine's long-term conventional buildup. The focus is shifting from immediate battlefield needs to a sustained modern defense capability. It solidifies a strategy of military stalemate and attrition, aiming to make Russia's current objectives unsustainable.
And for investments.
Well, this sustained commitment often means continued demand for defense sector companies. That's the practical takeaway for investors watching this space.
Meanwhile, back in the U.S., we have the U.S. employment benchmark revision. This is a preliminary benchmark revision to the establishment survey data for 2025. How much can these revisions actually shift the narrative around the U.S. job market, especially for the Fed?
These revisions are highly significant. They provide comprehensive employment counts derived from state unemployment insurance tax records, generally more accurate and complete than the initial monthly survey data.
So potentially big changes to past numbers.
Potentially, yes. They can significantly revise employment data, which is absolutely critical for Federal Reserve policy assessment. If previous job growth was overstated or maybe understated, it changes the entire picture the Fed uses to evaluate labor market health.
Which could impact rate decisions.
Definitely. It could either reinforce the idea of a cooling labor market, perhaps supporting future rate cut expectations, or it could reveal a stronger than perceived market, which would seriously complicate the Fed's soft landing narrative and potentially push back any thoughts of cuts. It's a moment for fundamental recalibration, and markets will be paying very close attention to any surprises.
We'll also see some expected Chinese economic data on Tuesday and Wednesday, monthly CPI and PPI for August. Recent trends showed near zero CPI and that declining PPI met at 3.6% year-over-year in July.
Right.
How do these data points for China fit into the broader global economic picture, especially when contrasted with Western inflation challenges?
These are key indicators for China's deflationary pressures and its economic recovery trajectory. While Western economies grapple with persistent inflation, China's struggle with disinflation, even outright deflation, suggests weaker domestic demand and maybe some oversupply capacity.
So the opposite problem.
Pretty much. If their CPI remains near zero and PPI continues to decline, it signals a lack of pricing power for producers and a cautious consumer base. This stands in stark contrast to the inflationary pressures in the U.S. and Europe. It suggests a divergence in economic cycles that could impact global trade flows, commodity prices, and overall demand for goods and services.
And the cheaper exports angle again.
Yeah, a deflationary China could export cheaper goods, potentially alleviating some global inflation. But it could also signal a deeper global demand problem if their own economy is sluggish. It's a complex signal.
Wednesday, September 10th. Here's where it gets really interesting. Wednesday brings us a genuine double whammy. Yeah. Crucial U.S. inflation data that could send ripples globally and a potential political earthquake brewing in France.
Yep. This next piece of the puzzle might just be the most critical. It intertwines economic pressures with significant political upheaval.
So the data first.
This day is a prime example of the interconnected risks we discussed. Economic data can fuel market crashes, and domestic political instability can quickly escalate into a broader Eurozone crisis. We start with the U.S. Producer Price Index, PPI, release for August 2025.
Measuring prices received by producers.
Exactly. This follows an unexpectedly hot July report, which jumped a surprising 0.9% month over month, the largest increase since June 2022. Consensus forecasts for August are looking for a more moderate 0.3% rise, suggesting a cooling. But the market is definitely on edge after July.
So if this PPI comes in hot again, say, above that 0.3% consensus, it's not just another data point, is it? It's a direct challenge to the soft landing narrative so many are hoping for, and a serious warning shot for what comes next, particularly for the Fed.
Exactly. This is a critical inflation data point influencing Fed policy decisions for the upcoming September 16-17 FOMC meeting. It's a leading indicator for pipeline price pressures that could feed directly into consumer prices.
What's the black swan potential here?
Well, if the August PPI comes in hot again, say at 0.7% month over month, as some less optimistic scenarios suggest it would be an early warning shock, it immediately raises the probability of a hot consumer price index, or CPI, release the very next day.
And the market reaction.
In that scenario, equities would likely sell off sharply. Bond yields would rise as markets aggressively reprice the Fed's policy path. It could push expectations for rate cuts further into the future, maybe even bring rate hikes back into the conversation. It would fundamentally shake confidence in the current disinflationary trend.
And while the U.S. is grappling with that, France is bracing for the Blocons tout-tout tests. Block everything.
Uh-huh.
A nationwide general strike and decentralized protest against the government's proposed austerity measures. $43.8 billion in cuts, removing holidays, pension freezes, health cuts. It's a lot.
It is.
We're talking widespread disruptions, transport, schools, hospitals. It's even described as strangely reminiscent of the 2018 Gilets Jaunes movement. And politically, Prime Minister Francois Bayrou is facing a parliamentary confidence vote tomorrow, September 8th, and is apparently all but certain to lose, forcing his resignation.
This injects a powerful political risk narrative directly into the market, especially for the Eurozone. The CGT, France's powerful General Confederation of Labor, has endorsed the blockade, calling for massive participation.
What's the worst case scenario here?
If these protests are larger and more disruptive than expected, leading to government collapse, an inability to form a new government quickly, and credit rating agencies putting France on negative watch, it could very quickly spiral into a Eurozone crisis.
What's the mechanism?
It's a direct challenge to fiscal consolidation, which is generally encouraged by European institutions and essential for debt sustainability. If this forces the French government to backtrack on fiscal prudence, it signals that political realities can override sound economic policy. That increases the perceived risk of French sovereign debt, potentially widening bond spreads between France and, say, Germany. And that complicates the ECB's task of maintaining monetary policy uniformity across the bloc.
You're highlighting the potential for this domestic unrest in a major Eurozone economy to become a global financial concern. What are the concrete mechanisms of contagion here? How would that actually play out for someone listening in, say, North America or Asia?
Well, the contagion mechanism is multifold. Firstly, France is the Eurozone's second largest economy. It's a foundational cornerstone of the EU. Political instability there immediately raises questions about the bloc's overall stability and cohesion.
Confidence hit.
Right. Secondly, a government unable to implement fiscal reforms due to social unrest signals that its debt might become less sustainable. That impacts French sovereign bond prices. If international investors lose confidence, they demand higher yields to hold French debt.
Increasing borrowing costs?
For France and potentially other Eurozone nations seen as fiscally vulnerable. This can then spread through the banking system as many European banks hold significant amounts of French sovereign debt.
And the ECB gets dragged in.
Finally, yes, it ties directly into the ECB's ability to conduct monetary policy. If a major member state is in crisis, the ECB faces immense pressure to intervene, potentially compromising its mandate for price stability and further undermining market confidence and central bank independence globally. This could lead to a weaker euro, affecting international trade and the purchasing power of anyone holding euro-denominated assets. It connects back quickly.
We also have the first day of the ECB Governing Council meeting in Frankfurt on Wednesday. They'll be assessing Eurozone economic conditions ahead of their decision on Thursday.
Preparing the ground.
And EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen delivers her first State of the Union address of her second mandate, outlining EU priorities, plus various U.S. Treasury note auctions. It all underscores the multifaceted challenges facing both sides of the Atlantic, amplifying the weak stakes.
Absolutely. A very packed day.
This is a Thursday, September 11th, undoubtedly the most consequential day of the week. Economic, financial, and geopolitical events are all converging. A truly high-stakes environment that could redefine the market outlook for the rest of the year.
Indeed. The market narrative could shift decisively here, especially if inflation data clashes with central bank policy. And let's not forget the somber geopolitical backdrop of the 9/11 anniversary, which adds a layer of solemnity and heightened security awareness.
The centerpiece event.
The absolute centerpiece economic event is the U.S. Consumer Price Index CPI release for August 2025, along with the usual initial jobless claims. This is the final key inflation data before the September 16-17 FOMC meeting.
What are forecasts saying?
Forecasts suggest a potential acceleration in year-over-year inflation to 2.9% from 2.7% in July. With core inflation remaining stubbornly persistent, the market is on razor's edge, especially after that potentially hot PPI report the day before.
So what does this all mean if both PPI yesterday and CPI today come in hotter than expected? It's not just about the probability of one rate hike or cut. It's about a fundamental shift in how the Fed is perceived to be handling inflation, isn't it? It feels like their credibility is on the line.
Absolutely. This data point holds the most sway over the Fed's near-term policy decisions. If, and this is one particularly dire black swan scenario, the headline, yo-yo CPI is 2.9%, but core CPI comes in at, say, 3.4%. A significant upside surprise.
That would be bad.
That is the market's worst fear realized. It would signal broad-based, sticky inflation, erasing any hopes for 2025 rate cuts and potentially pricing in further hikes. The market would interpret this as the Fed being decisively behind the curve on inflation, unable to tame it effectively.
And the reaction.
A violent sell-off in equities, particularly tech and growth stocks sensitive to rising rates. A sharp sell-off in U.S. Treasuries, causing yields to spike across the curve. And a surging U.S. dollar as global capital flows to the U.S. anticipating higher rates. It would be a profound reevaluation of monetary policy effectiveness and the economic outlook, impacting anyone with investments in U.S. markets.
And just hours later, we have the ECB interest rate decision and press conference with President Christine Lagarde.
Right. The consensus is for the ECB to hold its main refinancing rate steady at 2.15%, but all eyes will be on Lagarde's forward guidance.
They paused cuts in July, right, after four straight cuts.
They did. And policymakers are reportedly split on the inflation outlook, downside risks from trade tensions, upside risks from fiscal policy, like potentially in France.
So this raises an important question. Caught between potentially high U.S. inflation data and significant domestic political chaos in France, can the ECB maintain its credibility and project a clear path forward?
A perceived misstep here could have profound implications for the Eurozone's stability and the Euro's value. Consider another black swan scenario, as outlined by some analysts. If Lagarde attempts to strike a balanced tone, emphasizing, the European situation is different and that the ECB will not be knocked off course by data from other jurisdictions?
Trying to decouple from the Fed.
Exactly. The market could interpret this as a massive dovish policy mistake, especially if U.S. inflation is running hot. This could lead to a collapse in the Eurozity exchange rate, a significant loss of faith in central banks globally, and accelerate a broader sell-off across financial markets.
Driven by what? Lack of control?
Driven by concerns that central banks are no longer in control of inflation, it creates a powerful confidence cascade, challenging the fundamental assumption of central bank competence in managing price stability.
How do these two central bank decisions, especially if they diverge or if one is perceived to misstep, create that confidence cascade across global markets? What's the chain reaction we should be watching for?
Well, the cascade begins when the U.S. CPI data shatters the soft landing narrative for the Fed, leading to expectations of more aggressive tightening. If the ECB then appears to downplay global inflationary pressures and maintain a more dovish stance, it signals a lack of a unified front against inflation,
Policy divergence.
which amplifies global uncertainty. Investors, already shaken by persistent U.S. inflation, would view the ECB's perceived misstep as a failure to protect the euro's purchasing power, accelerating capital flight from the eurozone.
So money leaves Europe.
Potentially, yes. And this loss of faith in both major Western central banks suggests that policymakers are losing control of inflation globally. That prompts a broad risk-off move across nearly all asset classes. It could trigger widespread market panic, with capital flowing into traditional safe havens and out of riskier assets, affecting stock markets, bond markets, currency valuations worldwide. It's a moment where trust in the global financial architecture is truly tested.
Amidst all this, Thursday, September 11th also marks the 24th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks.
It's a somber backdrop, yes. A reminder of the persistent non-economic threats that continue to shape the geopolitical landscape. Intelligence assessments indicate the period around this anniversary often coincides with increased propaganda from al-Qaeda and affiliates, including renewed calls for attacks against the U.S. and its allies.
And the global terrorism threat is considered elevated.
It is, driven in part by insecurity and instability from the ongoing Israel-Hamas conflict. While not a direct market driver like inflation data, it adds to the overall sense of global tension and uncertainty, influencing geopolitical risk premiums subtly.
Other events on Thursday include Turkey's central bank rate decision. They've been easing, right, from a very high rate.
Yes, currently 43%, so that decision will impact the Turkish lira and emerging market sentiment. We also have several U.S. Treasury bond auctions setting benchmarks for long-term rates.
And OPEC.
OPEC releases its monthly oil market report, providing crucial forecasts for global oil, and we have high-level diplomacy. Israeli President Isaac Herzog's controversial visit to the U.K., and EU Trade Commissioner Mauricio Shoevich visiting New Delhi to advance India-EU free trade agreement talks.
A packed, intense day.
Absolutely. All these contribute to the day's profound intensity and global interconnectedness.
As the week winds down on Friday, September 12th, we brace for the hot phase of a major military exercise that could rattle global security while also getting a first read on how consumers are digesting all this intense news.
Right. The ZAPAD 2025 military exercise represents a significant geopolitical flashpoint. Its developments will be closely watched, even as markets continue to process the week's intense economic data. The hot phase of this joint Russia-Belarus strategic exercise begins today and runs through September 16th.
This is the first big one since the Ukraine invasion started.
It is. Interestingly, it involves a significantly reduced number of personnel, around 13,000, compared to maybe 200,000 in ZAPAD 2021.
Reflecting the strain of the war.
That's the interpretation, yes. It reflects Russia's conventional forces being degraded and tied up by the ongoing war in Ukraine.
So it appears Russia is compensating for this conventional weakness by pivoting to strategic asymmetric strength. We're talking about a stated focus on practicing tactical nuclear weapons employment and integrating Russia's new Oreshnik hypersonic missile system, slated for delivery to Belarus. This effectively moves the strategic threat closer to NATO capitals. It's a dangerous game of signaling.
Exactly. This is a crucial evolution in doctrine. It's a clear signal of deterrence and psychological pressure against NATO. Belarus itself seems to be playing a delicate hand downsizing exercises, signaling de-escalation.
But keeping options open.
Right. Minsk also stated it could reverse these decisions if Poland or Lithuania increase military activity, maintaining a precarious balance. The market is not currently pricing in a direct NATO-Russia clash. It's seen as a tail risk. ZAPAD 2025, however, could bring that tail risk into core market pricing, forcing investors to confront a truly worst-case scenario.
Okay, let's unpack this for a moment. A technical malfunction or an accidental border incident during an exercise focused on hypersonic missiles and tactical nukes. That sounds like a terrifying tightrope walk, fraught with the potential for miscalculation. What are the immediate and long-term consequences if that scenario plays out, even if unintended?
This is truly the ultimate black swan geopolitical risk for the week. Imagine a technical malfunction during a live fire drill, and a Russian missile's unarmed test warhead impacts eastern Poland, miles from the Belarusian border. Or maybe a sophisticated cyber attack attributed to Russia targets critical Polish rail infrastructure, disrupting NATO supply lines under the guise of the exercise.
What happens then? Immediately.
The immediate market reaction on Friday would be outright risk-off panic. Equity futures across the globe would plummet. The VIX, the volatility index, would explode upwards, reflecting extreme fear.
Flight to safety.
Massive, panicked flight to traditional safe haven assets. Gold prices surge. U.S. dollar and Swiss franc rally sharply. U.S. Treasury and German bond prices gap up as investors seek the safest possible government debt.
And beyond the markets. Energy. Food.
Energy and food prices would spike dramatically. European natural gas futures, crude oil prices would soar on fears that a direct conflict could halt all remaining Russian energy flows and disrupt shipping in critical seas like the Black Sea. Wheat futures would also surge as the risk to Ukrainian and Russian grain exports becomes acutely elevated.
And the longer term, over the weekend and into next week?
Long term, the geopolitical escalation spiral over the weekend would be profound. Poland would likely invoke Article 4 of the NATO treaty, calling for emergency consultations. The ambiguity, was it accidental or deliberate, would be the most dangerous element. Russia might claim NATO electronic warfare caused it, while simultaneously placing its nuclear deterrent forces on higher alert. Markets opening on Monday would face the most acute great power military crisis since 1962, potentially triggering circuit breakers, trading halts. This would fundamentally redraw the geopolitical risk landscape for years to come, impacting everything from defense spending to international trade agreements and, of course, your global investments.
Wow. Okay. A very serious tail risk. In other news for Friday, we also get the U.S. Preliminary University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey for September.
Yes, a timely read.
This offers a verdict on how the week's inflation news, those critical PPI and CPI reports, and maybe these rising geopolitical tensions, are shaping household expectations, particularly regarding spending. Sentiment fell in August, didn't it? Consumers citing high prices.
It did. High prices were the main concern.
How do consumers typically react to all this? And what does it signal for future spending, which is such a critical component of the U.S. economy?
This report is crucial because it gives us a direct read on the psychological impact of the week's events on the average American household. If consumer sentiment falls further, especially with heightened concerns about persistent inflation and now potential geopolitical instability,
they pull back.
It signals a likely retrenchment in discretionary spending. Consumers, feeling less secure about their financial future and the broader economic outlook, are likely to pull back on big-ticket purchases, maybe even everyday items. This directly impacts the retail and consumer goods sectors and could exacerbate any economic slowdown, signaling a more challenging environment for businesses as we head into the final quarter.
So weaker corporate earnings, potentially slower growth.
That's the implication, yes. For you, the listener, it can mean weaker corporate earnings and a potential slowdown in economic growth.
And as the markets in Euro close, we'll see the ECB HICP flash estimate for August 2025, another key inflation indicator for the Eurozone, along with emerging markets PMI data.
These data points will provide further clarity on inflation trends in the Eurozone following the ECB's rate decision and offer a health check on manufacturing and services activity in emerging markets, indicating how they are weathering global trade tensions and the overall economic climate. They help complete the economic picture for the week.
And just like that, we reach Saturday, September 13th. Markets get a brief pause to digest one of the most event-packed and potentially transformative weeks we've seen in a long time.
The weekend provides crucial time for reflection. On the confluence of economic data, policy decisions, geopolitical tensions, it will undoubtedly reshape the risk landscape for the remainder of 2025 and beyond.
And ZAPAD continues.
The ZAPAD 2025 military exercise continues through September 16th, meaning that geopolitical flashpoint remains active and will be monitored closely throughout the weekend and into the next week. Keeps the world on alert.
Anything else?
Also, the World Food Forum, hosted by the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, begins in Rome, focusing on transforming global agri-food systems and addressing food security, a vital, long-term global challenge that often gets overshadowed by more immediate crises.
Okay, so we've gone day by day, event by event. Now, what does this all mean for your portfolio, your investments, or just your general sense of where the world is heading? Let's zoom out and look at the bigger picture of market and sector impact, specifically how these events might play out in the short, medium, and long term.
Right. We've discussed the individual events, but the real insight comes from understanding their collective weight. This week could fundamentally alter perceptions of global monetary policy and geopolitical stability for months, if not years.
Context is key, right? Right before the Fed meeting.
Exactly. Overall, the week represents a critical period immediately preceding the September 1617 Federal Reserve FOMC meeting. There's an exceptionally high potential for volatility, particularly peaking on September 10-11, with that confluence of U.S. inflation data, the ECB, Turkey's central bank, OPEC plus discussions.
And the outcome? Soft landing or something else?
Well, this period could conclude with either a reinforced belief in a soft landing for the global economy, where inflation comes down without a deep recession, or a sharp increase in fears of stagflation, particularly in the United States, where high inflation persists alongside sluggish growth. This will really set the tone for the medium term.
Turning to equities, the potential for volatility here is clearly high, especially given the U.S. inflation data. What kind of short to medium term strategies should investors be considering in this environment, informed by our deep dive?
Well, a hotter-than-expected U.S. CPI report could trigger a significant sell-off in U.S. indices like the S&P 500 and NASDAQ, diminishing hopes for near-term Fed rate cuts. European equities will also be highly sensitive to the ECB's forward guidance and that perceived political risk from the French protests.
So strategy-wise?
From a research-based strategy perspective for the short term, one might consider shorting broad markets, maybe using S&P 500 or Euro Stoxx 50 futures, to hedge or profit from declines. Conversely, sectors perceived as safe havens or beneficiaries of heightened tensions could see gains.
Like defense.
Right. Going long defense contractors, Lockheed Martin, LMT, RTX Corp, RTX, Northrop Grumman, NOC, or cybersecurity ETFs, like those tracking the HACK index, anticipating increased defense spending and cyber warfare in the medium to long term.
What about value versus growth?
If rising rates disproportionately hurt growth stocks, a value versus growth pair trade longing value stocks, VTV, while shorting growth stocks, QQQ, could be viable. And of course, longing defensive sectors like consumer staples, XLP, and healthcare, XLV, is a classic move to protect capital in uncertain times, regardless of the immediate market direction.
And for fixed income, particularly bonds, what's the outlook, especially with those critical inflation numbers dropping? How might that impact yields, and what could be the long-term implications for borrowing costs?
U.S. Treasury yields will be highly reactive to the PPI and CPI data. An upside surprise in inflation would likely push yields higher across the curve as markets price in more aggressive Fed action.
Which means higher borrowing costs.
Oh, exactly. Potentially impacting everything from mortgage rates to corporate borrowing costs in the short and medium term. German bonds will react similarly to the ECB's tone.
Strategies here.
For strategies, a flight to safety scenario would involve going long U.S. Treasuries and German bonds. A more advanced strategy could be a yield curve steepener.
Explain that one again.
It essentially means betting on short-term interest rates rising faster than long-term rates. You'd short 2-year treasuries and simultaneously long 10-year or 30-year treasuries. The thinking is often that aggressive short-term hikes to combat inflation could eventually lead to a recession, forcing long-term rate cuts down the line. It's a play on the market's expectation of future economic trajectory.
Currencies are always a barometer for global sentiment and economic shifts.
Oh.
How might the U.S. dollar and the euro fare this week, and what are the short to medium term implications for international trade and travel?
The U.S. dollar index, DXY, is poised for significant movement. Stronger than expected inflation data would likely be bullish for the dollar, as investors anticipate higher interest rates relative to other economies. This could make U.S. imports cheaper, but U.S. exports more expensive, influencing trade balances.
And the euro. Pulled in different directions.
Exactly. The euro's trajectory will be more complex, depending on the ECB's perceived hawkishness or dovishness balanced against that political risk premium from France. A strategy could involve going long the US dollar and shorting the euro, euro USD, anticipating a weakening euro.
And if Zapad escalates?
In a military escalation scenario, especially linked to the Zapad 2025, we could see a sharp move like longing USDPLN, where the Polish zloty weakens significantly against the dollar due to regional risk and shorting EURCHF as capital flows to traditional safe havens like the Swiss franc and away from a potentially destabilized eurozone. These shifts in currency values can directly affect the cost of your international travel or the profitability of businesses engaged in cross-border trade.
Finally, let's talk commodities and options volatility. How would these assets react, particularly if we see those black swan scenarios play out? What are the long-term trends we should keep an eye on?
Okay. Oil prices will be influenced by the OPEC monthly report, global growth signals from China and Japan, and the outcome of the Norwegian election. For the short to medium term, gold may see increased safe haven demand if geopolitical tensions, specifically Zapad 2025, escalate, or if U.S. data fuels fears of stagflation or loss of faith in central banks.
Trading strategies
could involve longing crude oil, WT Brent, and European natural gas futures, often benchmarked by the Dutch TTF price if supply concerns escalate. Also, longing wheat and corn futures is a possibility if there's a risk of supply disruption from Eastern Europe. Gold futures, GC, or ETFs like GLD would also be a classic safe haven play.
And volatility. Options.
For options and volatility, the most direct way to trade panic would be longing VIX futures or call options, or buying put options or put spreads on equity indices like SPY or FEZ. These allow you to profit from or hedge against sharp market declines. For the long term, any sustained geopolitical instability could reshape global energy supply chains and demand for safe haven assets.
And what about sector-specific outlooks? How might different industries respond to this week's confluence of events?
Right, zooming in a bit. Defense is likely to see positive sentiment from the Ukraine Defense Contact Group meeting and heightened geopolitical tensions surrounding Zapad 2025. That signals continued demand and spending in the medium to long term.
Makes sense. Energy.
In energy, the Norwegian election will have long-term implications for North Sea production, while the OPEC report and China's trade data are key short-term drivers for oil and gas prices.
Retail. Consumers.
Retail and consumer goods will be closely watching U.S. CPI and consumer sentiment data for signs of weakening consumer demand due to persistent inflation. French retailers, in particular, could face direct operational disruption from the Blocus-Stout protests.
Logistics.
Finally, logistics and transportation networks in France face the prospect of severe disruption on September 10th, and global shipping and logistics firms will be sensitive to China's trade data as a key barometer of global goods flow. Each of these sectors, and by extension your investments within them, will respond directly to the unique pressures of this week.
What a monumental week we have ahead of us. From the subtle shifts in economic data that could redefine central bank policy, to the stark realities of geopolitical signaling that could rattle global security, the interconnectedness of our world is more apparent than ever. It's truly a testament to how quickly localized events can ripple across continents, shaping financial markets and, well, our daily lives.
This week is unequivocally set to be an inflection point. The interplay between the economic war, the military stalemate, and political fragmentation means that analyzing these events in isolation is simply not enough.
You have to see the connections.
Understanding these potential cascades, how a surprise OPEC plus cut can combine with BRICS de-dollarization efforts, or how French protests can destabilize the eurozone amidst a hawkish Fed, is absolutely crucial for any informed individual. These aren't merely headlines, they are fundamental forces reshaping global stability and economic opportunity.
So what does this all mean for you, our informed listener? Perhaps the provocative thought for the week is this. In a world where central banks, military exercises, and street protests can all trigger global market shifts that affect your savings, your job, your future, how do we, as individuals, prepare for what increasingly feels like unprecedented volatility? And what will be the lasting narrative as we head into the final months of 2025, once this intense week of global inflection points has concluded and its true consequences begin to emerge?
We encourage you to continue exploring these themes, questioning assumptions, and thinking critically about the why behind the headlines. Stay vigilant, stay informed, and consider deeply how these powerful forces might reshape not just markets, but the very fabric of global stability for years to come.